new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the Bama Online Podcast. Travis Ryer, senior analyst for BOL, joined by Alabama beat reporter extraordinaire Charlie Potter. And, you know, we did one of these in the last 24 hours, kind of taking you into the Thanksgiving holiday, getting you ready for Wednesday night's season opener on the Alabama men's basketball front, just sort of trying to ease into the midweek and into the latter stages of Iron Bowl week 2020. And lo and behold, what happens on Wednesday morning? Of course, huge news, and that Alabama head football coach Nick Saban had tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. And with that, Charlie, you know, it's certainly huge news. It's not only huge news in this state. It's not only huge news in college football. It's huge news in sports in general. And that being said, did you kind of get the feeling that maybe the dry run we had with Georgia with all of this last month sort of tempered what we heard once again on Wednesday this time around?
Yeah, I mean, you never want to have a situation where you're without your head coach, especially one of Nick Saban's caliber, the experience that he has, the record that he's put together. But the Georgia game, I think, is definitely beneficial for Alabama in this instance, because it's basically done this already. That was essentially like a fire drill at school. You know, you go through that, and then if, you know, lo and behold, there is a fire, you kind of know what to do. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know how much I paid attention during those, but I think Alabama's coaching staff and the players and, you know, all of the, you know, analysts and staff members, they took it seriously the first time around, and that's going to benefit them now. Of course, you know, it's the Iron Bowl. It's always a crazy game. So it helps to have a guy like Steve Sarkisian, you know, being kind of the interim head coach, you know, in this instance. But you know, nonetheless, it was a busy morning, and a morning on top of everything else that's going on. You know, the website was down, and we're not the only one. I mean, there's a big chunk of the internet that's down today.
Freaking Amazon.
Amazon Web Services. So
Jeff Bezos.
I know a lot of people are having issues with the site and wondering what's up. It's nothing we can do on our end. We're waiting. It looks like the website has shown signs of life, though, and hopefully it'll be back up and running by the time this podcast is up. But what a morning, what a week, what a year, 2020, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah, those fire drills at school, they never came during those pop quizzes. You know, when I really needed the fire drill always left me hanging. And kind of recalling those days. But as we talk about this situation involving Nick Saban, similar in terms of even the day of the week in which this has happened. It happened on a Wednesday of game week for Georgia, happened on a Wednesday of the Iron Bowl week. But certainly some noticeable differences in the wording of the statement, I guess, from Alabama this time around, which kind of led you to believe quickly that this wasn't going to be like Georgia ultimately.
Oh, yeah, that was the big difference. I probably should have mentioned that a minute ago. But, you know, they released a statement, and, you know, it's from team doctor, from Jeff Allen, kind of a joint statement, and basically saying that Nick Saban has tested positive, but, you know, he is showing mild symptoms. And, you know, this time he said that, you know, he took a PCR test, which is different than when he took last time. And, you know, they're basically ruling out the possibility that it is a false positive. So he's not going to coach Saturday. You know, still, he said he feels fine. He has a little bit of a runny nose, and he kind of struggled to come up with even that to describe what kind of symptoms he had. But, you know, he doesn't have a fever. He doesn't have any kind of aches or fatigue or anything like that. So he doesn't have anything of significance in terms of just the cardinal symptoms. And so he's going to be able to do all the things from home and watch practice. And he's really involved in everything. He just can't coach in the game on Saturday. So again, going back to what happened, you know, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday morning leading up to the Georgia game, you know, they've been through this, so that helps.
Yeah, and he was even a part of the SEC coaches teleconference on Wednesday morning. So if you thought you were going to hear from Sark beginning on Wednesday of game week, think again. I wonder if we'll even hear from Sark post-game, you know, on Saturday, Charlie. It could be that maybe at first you see Sark on the Zoom call, and then there's like the static, and all of a sudden, you know, Nick breaks in, you know, for the post game. But no, we'll get into some more of what Sark brings to this mix and kind of, you know, how this sort of will play out throughout the remainder of the practice week. And then even into, you know, what it means for game day operations for this team. But first, we're going to take a quick break here on the Bama Online Podcast. When we come back, more with Charlie Potter. I'm Travis Schreier. Hang in there with us. Back right after this.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Back with more of the Bama Online Podcast on the heels of the news that Alabama head football coach Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19. He has gone into isolation. He is symptomatic. And with that, he has entered the protocol process. And Charlie, as we bring you back in here, let's talk about what this means, because you alluded to it in terms of the practice week. Doesn't sound like that's going to change all that much in terms of him being very much a participant on a virtual basis. But as we talked about in the previous segment, even that is something this team has already experienced due to his brief time away during the Georgia week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure the setup, but he has someone that he can communicate with at practice. And God, I would not want to be that guy during practice while Saban's watching a live feed and just to tell him anything that he sees go wrong. But he can watch practice. He's in on all the meetings. And, you know, with a lot of those meetings, they try to do them via Zoom. And if not, they're spaced out and everything like that. So it should be pretty much business as usual. He just won't be going to work. And, you know, he was even asked really how he thinks, you know, he got the virus. And he says he has no idea. He's not around anybody. He goes to the office. He goes home. You know, there are people maybe going in and out of his house on occasion. Maybe that's where he picked it up from. But he has no idea how this happened. And the big thing, and it can change, and it's something we're going to obviously monitor, you know, as the week progresses, is he doesn't think that it's affected anybody on his coaching staff or any of the players. And, of course, contact tracing is something that's going to be, you know, big, you know, moving forward. But he said, based on how they manage things, like I said, with the Zoom calls, with the social distancing, you know, he can't see any issues with the coaches and players. It's obviously up to the contact tracers and what they see. But pretty much business as usual. Saturday is going to be different. I wouldn't want to be, again, sitting in Nick Saban's living room or man cave, wherever he's going to watch the game, with him not being able to be on the sideline. But everything else is normal, as much as normal can be in this year.
Yeah, you said it, as normal as things can be. And, you know, my understanding, based on, again, the ramp up to Georgia and some of the things that we discovered in that process, is that he'll be able to have communication or be in communication with his staff, I guess even the team. I think it's like a 90-minute window before kickoff, where based on NCAA protocols, that goes black or goes dark, so to speak. And then from that point forward, it's Stephen Ambrose Sarkisian that will be fully in charge. And you know, let's talk about maybe the advantages, obviously, that Sark has had as a head coach at the Power 5 level. But you know, this is a staff, too, that – it's still got a nice mix, but it's veteran heavy. I mean, you've got some old dogs on this staff that have been around the block. Certainly Kyle Flood has been a head coach in the past. You look at it from an analyst perspective. And again, we expect Nick Saban will still be involved in the preparation process moving forward. But the resources, the staff, it's they're equipped to be able to handle this situation.
Yeah, I think equipped is a good word. I mean, you never want to be in this situation, of course, but if you're going to lose just one person, and if, you never want it to be the head coach, but Nick Saban has assembled an army of staff members around him that can get the job done. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian is still going to call plays. It basically comes down to, you know, critical decision making. You know, that's going to be left up to him in this game. And you know, that's something he hasn't done, you know, in a while now. He's been offensive coordinator in Alabama, obviously was with the Falcons before that, but he has head coaching experience at Washington and at USC. And so I think it, with all of that experience and the way that Nick Saban kind of covers all the bases, I think they'll be fine. Like, of course, he mentioned this in the Georgia game, and I think it's worth mentioning again. It's a situation where he doesn't want to put his staff in this position, because that's why we only hear from Nick Saban. It is one team, one voice, because he makes the decisions, and he's the one that wants to take the blame for it whenever things go wrong. So in a hypothetical situation, if Alabama goes out and loses the Iron Bowl, and maybe, you know, the Iron Bowls are typically pretty weird with how they transpire on the field, and maybe it came down to a questionable call on Sark's part. Nick Saban doesn't want to put him in that situation, but he does have confidence in him and that he has that experience in the past as a head coach to put him and trust him in those scenarios. So it is kind of the best case scenario for what is playing out with Alabama having so much experience on that coaching staff. But we'll see how it plays. I mean, I don't think it'll be just a huge transition. I mean, Nick Saban's not doing a ton on the field during the game. You'll see him, like, he's not calling plays or anything. He obviously has his input. You know, he has a big hand in adjustments and everything like that. But he has enough experience and enough guys on that staff and up in the booth that they can get the job done.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban, like any coach, relies heavily on data, whether it's game tape, whether it's statistical information. But on game day, Charlie, he's never struck me as a guy that is just totally immersed in analytics. In other words, that he has a sheet over there. You don't see Nick Saban referring to maybe a card that says, okay, we go for two here. We go for it on fourth and two at this spot on the field with this score at this time in the game. From that perspective, he's, I think, more old school. But I won't be surprised, Charlie, if maybe Nick has a few notes for Sark, you know, on some of those situations that he would prefer to see play out. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, because if you're going to trust a guy to step into that role, you kind of got to, and as tough as this is for Nick Saban and a lot of other coaches, you know, it's like having a 16-year-old, you know, if you're going to let him drive the car, you got to just give them the keys and hope it comes back in good shape. And, you know, Sark has a track record, and he's shown to be trustworthy here, I think, in the last couple of years. Now, I think something important about this, too, that we want to continue to hit on is this doesn't appear, at least according to Nick Saban, to be sort of a widespread issue at this point with the coaching staff or the roster. And, you know, I guess the everyday testing comes in handy there, but there were some concerns even going into the Kentucky game that maybe they might have a few more issues than they typically have had going into an actual game. But as we sit here mid-afternoon on Wednesday, Charlie, that's the understanding, right? That they seem to be in pretty good shape right now.
Yeah. You go back to the Kentucky game. I think they were without seven players because of COVID-19 and contact tracing. And, you know, none of those guys were starters. A lot of them were second year players. So you got to think that they were probably around each other, whether it's in the weight room or something like that. So a lot of those guys, I think, are back. I know one guy that I was kind of tipped off on ahead of the game was actually cleared and played I don't know if he played. I had to go back and look at the participation chart, but he was dressed out. So a lot of those guys are going to be coming back. And yeah, just like with what Nick Saban said, it doesn't sound like it's been
you know, an outbreak for the team, and that's good news. I mean, you look at what's happened across the conference, across the country. Other teams are not able to get this thing under control, and you know, Alabama has. We'll see if that, you know, continues to be the case moving forward. But, you know, knock on wood, they've been pretty lucky, and they haven't had any guys to show you know, big time symptoms or be really sick or anything like that. And a lot of the guys that missed the Kentucky game are going to be back. And you know, if they keep this up, then if you have the only person in your organization that gets it is an elderly man, then it shows that you're really doing everything you can to keep your guys safe.
Yeah, and look, all the energy, all the focus is obviously on Saturday, but it's hard not to think ahead to December the 5th for a couple different reasons. It was already an interesting weekend in terms of who the hell Alabama might actually end up playing. And then we hear from Sam Pittman, the Arkansas coach, on the SEC teleconference earlier on Wednesday, mentioned that he's been told by the SEC office, you know, Alabama's scheduled to play at Arkansas a week from Saturday. Sam Pittman says that the SEC office is supposed to let him know on Friday of this week whether or not Arkansas will play Missouri or Alabama. So you've got stuff like that going on, but you start doing math, right, on quarantine protocols and symptomatic versus asymptomatic, and you know how that can impact the time away for Nick Saban. And it seems like he could be cutting it close, I guess, for a week from Saturday at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he already told me once that I wasn't good at math, so I'm sitting here counting my fingers. So he said he found out at 10 o'clock this morning. So what, Saturday or next Saturday at 10 o'clock would be 10 days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they like to be dramatic, I guess. I mean, that's the way it happened with the Georgia game.
That's a tight shave.
It is. Yeah. And if, I mean, that is something else to think about, too, is we don't yet know exactly who Alabama is going to play, because I think it is interesting that Pittman brought that up. And a lot of us have thought that maybe that they move the Arkansas game back a week and then Alabama plays with LSU next week. You know, that's a big game. And, you know, I know LSU isn't what it was last year, but if you're Nick Saban, you want to be on the sidelines for that one. So it should be an interesting next 10 days for sure on this beat, as if it wasn't already enough.
Yeah, we talked about this before. How about CBS, too? I mean, the last couple of Saturdays, they've had their game canceled with the SEC. And now it looks like they're finally going to have a 2:30 game this week, the Iron Bowl, no less, and no Nick Saban. Although, I think that could result in even more people locking in to see a Nick Saban-less Alabama team. Not only an Alabama team without Nick Saban, but without him in an Iron Bowl, yeah, it may end up being a blessing in disguise, although we don't like for that to be at anyone's expense. And you said it, this is a 69-year-old individual we're talking about here. So first and foremost, as we get out of here, we certainly wish for a expeditious and full return to good health for Nick Saban in the coming days and weeks. Charlie, anything else we need to hit on, you think?
No, I mean, you mentioned that. I think if there's anyone at age 69 that can get over this quickly, it's Nick Saban. I mean, with his routine and the way he takes care of himself, you know, he should, you know, be able to bounce back pretty quickly. And again, the only thing that he's really experienced is a little bit of a runny nose. So, yeah, you hope for him to have a speedy recovery. I think we'll hear from him, you know, later today, you know, after practice.
So he is going to do the post practice on Wednesday, is your understanding?
I still think it's TBD, but he did do it against in the Georgia game.
Yeah, so, he did.
You mentioned it earlier. I think it'll be more interesting to see what happens after the game Saturday, if we hear from Sarkisian or not. You would think that would be the case, but yeah, it wouldn't shock me to hear some Darth Vader breaths and Saban cut into the feed to take over. So
yeah, we'll see. I'll take it from here, Sark.
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, you know, you hope that, you know, he doesn't have any severe symptoms. He gets back quickly, and nobody really gets affected by this. And you know, it sucks too, because this is a year where, you know, every Iron Bowl, really, the players are allowed to either go home if it's close enough, or they can go to the assistant coaches' houses. And that's not going to be the case this year. They're going to do one big Thanksgiving meal at the facility, where, you know, they've been doing stuff
already, and they're obviously going to be social distancing. And I think even though that's different, I think that is kind of cool. And now, you know, Nick Saban will have to do that virtually, and that kind of sucks for him. But
we don't know what Senior Day is. Senior Day Saturday? I mean, we had this conversation earlier today, you and I. Have we heard anything official from UA on that? Because it's on the schedule anyway. It's the final home game of the season.
I asked about that, and they said they're still going to go through with it. I don't know exactly what that entails. Obviously, it'll be different because Nick Saban won't be there, and he's the one that, you know, goes down the line and hands them a commemorative football and takes a picture with their families. But you know, do you want to do that in this, you know, climate and in the pandemic? I don't know. And
logistics again, are tough. Yeah,
you know, just sitting at Bryant Denny for, you know, the past four games. I don't know if they'll go this route. Really, it would kind of suck for the seniors. But you know, every week they've kind of honored some of the seniors in the $1 million band on the video boards. So maybe that's what they do. I don't know exactly how they're going to go about it. They don't have a full list in the game notes because, you know, it's a year where everybody can come back. We've seen, you know, a couple of players accept Senior Bowl invitations, and Deontay Brown and Landon Dickerson, the offensive linemen, so they're not coming back. Najee Harris said it's going to be his last game. But, you know, guys like Miller Forstall, Brian Robinson, you know, there's several guys out there, you know, that could come back for another year that we just don't know yet. So that one, again, is to be determined. They're going to honor them somehow, but I don't know exactly what extent yet.
2020 uncertainty. That's what year it is. So that's all we know to really tell you. But we wanted to tell you as much as we could about the situation involving Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19 heading into Saturday's Iron Bowl. I think we covered it, Charlie. And as always, appreciate the time, my man. And this time I mean it. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday. And we're going to have you covered throughout the weekend, and including Alabama men's basketball with the season opener set for Wednesday evening against Jacksonville State. So we got you. We got you at BamaOnline.com. Thanks, Charlie.
No problem, man. It's going to be a busy day with basketball and Saban, but you know, it's 2020. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Yeah, we're going to have coverage of hoops. We're going to have coverage of Nick Saban. We expect to hear from later this evening on Wednesday. So you're going to want to keep it locked to BamaOnline.com. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Bama Online podcast. Very simple, a click or two. It's free. And wherever you consume your podcast, you're going to find us, the Bama Online podcast. For Travis Schreier, excuse me, for Charlie Potter, I'm Travis Schreier. I don't even know how that works anymore, Charlie. wishing you and yours a happy holiday, and keep it wrapped. Keep it locked to BamaOnline.com for more coverage of everything Crimson Tide.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.